And welcome back to another authority agency. I should learn how to say that word, shouldn't I? Authority agency spotlight interview case study today. And that's kind of where this one is going to focus on, is around a case study, which I'm pretty excited about. Because today's guest is someone that's really gets what we are doing in authority agency, not just for clients, but also for himself. The way that he has been using authority is really impressive. And also the way that he has taken the training and actually stepped through the processes and put it into a process play. And you know, a lot of people, and I got to say, I'm one of them. I think everybody at some point is one of those people that you know, spends a little bit too much time getting ready to get ready. But I really like the fact that he kind of, you know, took that maybe not a leap of faith, but at least a step of faith. Well, you know, I'm just going to do what it says instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. And, you know, surprise, surprise, something happened. So we'll jump right in today with agency member Conrad Bosmans. Conrad has been a member here since May 2015 and jumped right into the funnel training and went through some of the, if I had to make $500 by next week training, and started out prior to coming into agency as in the content marketing field. And we'll talk about that, really exciting field. But we're also going to talk about very specifics around the step-by-step that he went through for a case study, and also talk about how he's applying authority to his business as well as for his clients. He is the founder and CEO of VAMO Media. And I think right out of the gate is something I want to hit on, because that stands for Voice Activated Marketing System. And this is where he's put a spin on what we're doing in authority agency in a very, in my opinion, very clever way. So with that, welcome, Conrad Bosmans. How you doing, Conrad?
Doing great, Jack. Looking forward to this.
Well, I am too, because it really is cool the way that you have applied this to your business and the way that you're injecting authority into your business and for your clients, and really putting a unique spin on it and kind of creating, just like we say, you know, your own micro specialization in this with content marketing. So let's start there before we jump into this case study. And I want to talk about the VAMO Media, Voice Activated Marketing System. So people may say, wow, what is that? A Voice Activated Marketing System. Why don't you jump right in and tell them what it is so they can see how familiar it is, but the way that you put the spin on this.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, VAMO Media, we're in the content marketing business. And as Brian Clark from Copy Blogger Media likes to say, content marketing is really all about just building audiences and selling them stuff. And I like that version of it because he really simplifies it. But what we try to do is we help businesses become as popular and helpful online as they are offline. And that means providing valuable content that solves problems while demonstrating your authority and delivering that content across the customer journey. And while that sounds really simple, it's actually very difficult. And the biggest reason, what I found in working with businesses was that most of them suffer from what I call the Jekyll and Hyde syndrome. And they can sell anything with a yellow pad of paper. They're in the yellow pad era of things. And when they sit in front of people, they're very charming. They're very knowledgeable about their business. They know what their clients' problems are, their customers' problems are, and they can solve those problems. But if you ask them about how they solved or met the most pressing need of a client recently and asked where you could find that information online, they would stare at you blankly and say, I don't really know where you can find that. So the problem is most businesses are one way in person, but online, they're completely different. They're not as helpful. They're not as charming. They're not as available. And that's what we're trying to do with voice activated marketing.
Well, I think, you know, you just put into words, you know, probably very succinctly, the gap analysis report of about 90% of local businesses. if you wanted to see where the gap was, is exactly what you described. You know, what they do versus any evidence of what they can do. And, you know, content marketing has been a word that a lot of people, I mean, just about everybody's heard that word, content marketing. And with the way that you're doing it with the authority piece to it actually gives content marketing some purpose to it, because content, I mean, the encyclopedia is content. Right. Your content. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing. They're just, you know, dumping out words. You know, they're dumping out word counts. They're dumping out meaningless articles with no purpose that really don't have any meat behind it. And the way that you are doing it with the interviews and with the authority spin on, do you feel that one, you're not only letting the your clients' audience discover what it is that they do and positioning them as that authority, do you find that it's also helping your clients discover the words to describe what they do and help them discover who their real core customer base is?
Well, that's a great question, talking about the words that they're using, because quite frequently when you look at their websites, they are digital brochures. And when you look at maybe their introductory content or text on their website, the first question I ask the business is this the way your audience talks about your services when they're looking for your help? And invariably, that resonates with them, because most of the time, no, it's not. A lot of times you'll see a lot of technical jargon in there that really doesn't have anything to do with what the pain point people are trying to solve. And so that's kind of where we start. So, you know, the interview process, the authority interview process, provides a great segue into that, because when businesses are describing the way they're helping solve problems for folks, they're using the language that their customers are using and solving it in a much more practical way.
Yeah, they're speaking the language of their customers. And do you find that it's easy to pull that out of them by doing the authority interviews?
Without a doubt, because they're speaking naturally about it, using the terminology they would use when they're in front of a client with that yellow pad of paper.
So let's talk about how you use this kind of in the maybe in the realm of the authority wheel. You do an authority interview, and that's kind of the basis of your content marketing, the core of that content. So you take that interview and then you convert that into multimedia, which is a number of different points of content marketing. Kind of describe that process.
Well, as you mentioned, a lot of people are familiar with content marketing. They've heard it. And if you talk to most businesses, business owners, and you mention it, and they all say, oh, we know we need to be blogging, or we know we need to have a podcast, or we know we need to use video marketing. They've heard all of these things, and it's no secret that they need to use them to deliver their valuable expertise across the customer journey. The problem is that it's difficult and time consuming, which is why it's the number one problem for virtually every business out there. So what we've done with the authority interviews, essentially for 30 minutes a week or a month or whatever the interval is that the businesses desire, we talk about the frequently asked questions that they hear. And so we're solving relevant problems for them. So the interviews are going to be around those problems. And once we've done the interview, or I've done the interview with them, we're able to package that into a problem-solving multimedia content.
And the root, the core of that content takes you about how long to put together for a client?
That's a great question, because therein lies it's simple for the client. They just need to show up for their interview.
That's like the important part.
Yeah, that's everything. So, you know, while the interview, for instance, in the case of the plastic surgeons that we're going to talk about, we were going to take 10 to 15 minutes, but they were all into it so much that we spent 30 to 45 minutes on the phone. And we could have taken longer, but ultimately we were getting a lot of valuable content out. But so anywhere from 10 to 30, 40 minutes. And then after the fact, we, you know, turn the content, the audio content, over to be transcribed and then multi-purposed into different mediums. So that's, you know, a virtual assistant handling those things behind the scenes.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll get into those details because that's where I think some really exciting stuff that you're doing, and I think really opens some eyes to folks. But let's back up just a little bit. Prior to you kind of finding the authority marketing angle and kind of honing in on this, what was your business like? You were doing content marketing, but what were some of those struggles and obstacles that maybe you've kind of overcome since then, when you've added the authority spin? So what were you doing prior to coming into agency?
Well, as you know, the content marketing is really the long game. And, you know, the people who've been at it for a while, they always like to tell stories that, you know, for most large enterprises, they are at a distinct disadvantage over the smaller companies who are into the content marketing business because they want immediate results. So if you're at C-level, if you're the CMO and you're talking to your colleagues and you're outlining your content strategy and saying, look, we're going to build this audience and we're going to sell them a bunch of stuff. And they look at you and go, that's great, Conrad. How long is that going to take? And you say, well, give us about 17 months. Well, the next couple of words you're going to hear are you're fired, because they just don't have that long-term perspective. That being said, the clients that I've worked with, while they have bought into it, at least at the beginning, and they get that it's a long play, they still want some immediate results. And so, you know, essentially building a digital you that's every bit as popular and helpful and authoritative online as you are offline takes time. We need some immediate results. And that's where the authority agency came in and gave me something that I could give them, whether it was the USA Today article or whether it was the any of the other authority wheel tools, gave me something that they looked at right away and said, wow, you really wowed me. That is unbelievable. I'm so happy we're doing this. So effectively, it gave us something that gave immediate or instant results that we could point to.
And I think that's something that people in a lot of different businesses, you know, working with local businesses, small businesses that are, you know, helping them with their marketing, can understand that long play problem, that's one of the being one of the toughest obstacles to get over. That, you know, this takes time to, you know, we got to let it simmer. We got to, you know, let it build up to what it can be. You know, it happens in layers. And what you're able to do, it sounds like, is to still build that foundation, but some have some nice quick hits that where they see some something actually happening, and they see something that gives them results, and see something that probably no one else has talked to them about or provided for it.
Yeah, well, and I got to tell you, at the Authority Funnel webinar, you guys did a great job of essentially laying out that whole cycle. And there was a slide in particular that said, hey, after 3 months, you're getting that phone call, and the client's on the other line and they're frustrated and they're impatient, and ultimately pointed how with the authority wheel and a lot of the tools and tactics that we've got at our disposal, you're able to eliminate that. And quite frankly, that's exactly how it worked out for me.
All right. Well, that's perfect. Well, so let's jump into, you know, you're doing the content marketing. You saw that, okay, this is a way for me to get out of strictly the long play game, which you described as that, exactly that, waiting, having to build and hope that they hang in there while you build that foundation. What I always like to do is not make everything look like, you know, rainbows and, you know, kitten purrs and everything like that. Is you jumped in, and probably like a lot of folks, you probably jumped in looking about two inches deep as far as what to do. And what did you start with? The USA Today lead magnet?
Exactly. Just followed the script, reached out to some local businesses, and had some great results with that, actually. But great short-term results. Was able to get appointments. People were really excited, but I had some problems on my execution.
And so let's get into that, because that's the part, you know, rather than saying, you know, showing everything with, you know, the great, how everything just worked out perfectly. Let's talk about problems with execution, and maybe others can learn from this and kind of see what you did and the lessons learned with that. So talk about where you may have gone wrong or kind of how you recognized what you were doing and kind of shifted a little bit.
Well, it comes down to wearing the right hat, and you guys allude to this a lot, but I showed up to an appointment with a local, a high profile interior designer and in San Clemente. And I showed up, the guy was really excited to see me. He introduced me to his staff. I was really they were very happy to see me. So we sat down and we started talking about their business. And as we started talking about the business, I'd already gotten them into USA Today. So I showed them the photo essay in USA Today, which they really liked. And then we did a informal interview where we talked about what they were doing, what some of their pain points were, et cetera. And it immediately led into the fact that they are struggling with their digital marketing. And I took my journalist hat off, which I'm not used to wearing. You know, I'm a business guy. You know, I help people with their marketing. I'm a business owner. I think that way. And I put my business owner's hat on and my marketing guy hat on. And I started, you know, talking to them about things, and they were leaning in and they were getting very excited about it. But at some point, the wolf came out of the sheep's clothing. I asked a question, forgive me, I don't remember what it was, but all of a sudden I saw them turn their heads and I was not a journalist anymore. I was a guy that was there to sell them something. And I was telling Frank Felker, who's another agency member, about that. And he said he understood and had similar situations, but I was just wearing the wrong hat and it came back to bite me.
Yeah. And really what we are doing there is it's not that we're trying to trick people, because we're going to give them exactly what we set out to give them, you know, with that lead magnet. It's not like a bait and switch, you know, where you're going to pull that from them and say, well, I'm not going to actually give you this unless you buy this. But it's also what it's allowing you to do is open up their eyes to the opportunities that then allow them to come and say, well, what else can we do? You know, and be able, and it's a much more receptive relationship after that. So you recognize that pretty quickly when you can see it in their eyes that they saw you change, right?
Like night and day. And the interesting thing, Jack, is as I thought back on it, you know, my perspective in that meeting, as it is in all meetings, is I want to hone in on what their pain points are and help them solve those pain points. And there's no problem with that. That's what we're all trying to do. But as you alluded to, it's not that I was doing the wrong thing for them. It's that the way I presented myself, how I went about it, I started wearing that marketing sales guy hat versus the journalist hat. And so you really need to keep in mind what the paradigm is of the audience there.
Yeah. And there's obviously a time to do that, but you kind of jumped in a little early on it.
I was very excited.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's perfect. Because there is a time to do that, but it's got to be the right time to do that. So, just to frame this and put a little perspective on it, what are the types of businesses that you work with? You know, throw out some of the industries. Are they mostly local type businesses?
Well, I started out, I really got into the content marketing business when I was talking to a realtor friend of mine who mentioned he wanted to build his authority. And I may have brought that up and I saw it resonate in his eyes. So I started building a product around realtors. But as I got into it, I learned that maybe that wasn't the exact market I wanted to be in. I closed the first realtor I met with, and I'm still working with him, but we're taking a slightly different approach versus the monthly voice activated marketing program that I'm doing for a lot of the other businesses. But I now work with an energy company, a mortgage company, plastic surgeons, and then a couple of other businesses. So I'm applying this voice activated marketing with an authority focus with four or five different industries and really building up a beta test where we'll be able to teach other people in those industries how to do it.
Oh, perfect. So you mentioned plastic surgeons. When and how did you get the idea, the calling to target that market?
Yeah, well, my USA Today leads were really around the real estate industry. So I met with my realtor client, and that went great because we've got a good relationship already. Then I met with somebody in the title business. Then I met with somebody in the mortgage business. That went really well, and we closed that. But a lot of the other industries, I don't believe that they had the revenue streams or the lifetime value of a client that may have had them spend the amount of money that they really need to spend or make the investments they would need to spend to be successful on this. So after I watched the how to make $500 in a week Kindle publishing video, I just targeted plastic surgeons and I made 9 phone calls. Six of the phone calls, I spoke to the gatekeeper there and they said, yeah, we'll have the doctor call you back or we'll let you know. But 3 of them were really excited. 2 of them called me back. The doctors called me back immediately within a half hour. And within 24 hours, I had conducted interviews with them that went very well. And then the 3rd interviewee, they scheduled the appointment immediately, but it was a couple of weeks out. And the first 2 interviews went very well. And at the end of the process, over the next couple of days, when I was showing them what we could do to establish or build their authority, demonstrate their authority across their customer's lifecycle, they reached out to me without me soliciting anything and asked if I'd be willing to work with them on an ongoing basis.
And there's the pivotal moment of waiting, right?
It was magical. It really was. So,
I want to make sure that we don't pass by this because there's some important information that I know people are going to want to know. And so to make this, I guess, a real, a case study, a beneficial case study. Let's talk about when you called them. Did you use the script? Let's talk about that. About you're actually the steps you went through to make those calls and to schedule those interviews. What did you do through there?
I used the script that you outlined in the video verbatim, just obviously with a few little personalization things that fit my style. And it told them that I was a contributor to Business Innovators Magazine. And we were doing an article on authority experts in the plastic surgery field on how to make people look more youthful or how people can look more youthful, and wanted an interview and then went from there.
Now, were you silent after that? Did you shut up?
Yes, absolutely. Followed the script to a T.
All right. And so you went quiet, and what was the response? And these were the gatekeepers that you were speaking to, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. And what was the response there?
They dug in a little bit more and asked a couple of the questions that you outlined in your script as well, which is, where are you from? What do you do? What's this for? Oh, okay. Well, let me tell the doctor. Hang on 1 second. And immediately after they spoke to the doctor and said where I was from, and I did mention USA Today, by the way, as well, that I was a contributor to USA Today. And they just immediately came back and said, the doctor would love to speak to you. And it's interesting, at one of the plastic surgeons I met with, he said to call him back anytime for something like this. And he was leaving the country, but insisted that I come and meet his staff. And when I met his lead assistant, she said that she hears people call all the time saying that they're going to write an article, but it's very clear immediately that they are there to sell something, and that she can see the doctor's eyes glaze over if she's in the room with him. But she said to me that when he was speaking to me, she heard him and she said it was obvious right away that you were different. And I thought that was very powerful.
Right. And obviously you got a much different reception than you would have gotten if you would have called and said, hey, can I speak to the doctor about your marketing?
Exactly. Without a doubt.
Okay.
And God forbid we mentioned that SEO word.
Yeah, yes. Oh, absolutely. And so you mentioned that they asked, after the initial question, you were silent. They some follow-up questions. And, you know, some of the ones that I say to be prepared for are exactly that. So they did the, so, you know, who are you with? Why, you know, why do you want to interview? That kind of thing. And you had, you were prepared to answer those type of questions, right?
Yeah, but to be fair, not a lot of that. You know, once I did the introduction, said USA Today, Business Innovators Magazine, want to interview as an expert authority in your field. Really, it was okay. Yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. When can we do it? And even when we set up or initiated the interview, there, at least I did not encounter too much of the who are you, what are you doing? But I was prepared to answer it if I needed to.
Perfect. And so when you introduce yourself, did you what do you position yourself as a media strategist or a contributor? What is the
once again, I use the script verbatim. I'm a digital media strategist that so on and so forth. So perfect. If you just looked at your script, followed that to a T.
And so once they said, OK, then you went through and you scheduled the you scheduled the interviews. One thing I want to bring up that you talked about earlier was how, you know, you would schedule these 15-minute interviews, but it would go on. It obviously went past 15 minutes. So a lot of people are worried, well, am I really going to be able to pull enough content out of these? What did you find that did you find you were able to pull enough content or did you see that, oh, you know, we got way more content than we need, or we got plenty of content? How did that work for you?
Well, that's a great question, Jack, because there were a couple things that I really learned that were very important to this. And when I said that I made a couple of mistakes with the USA Today lead magnet, one of them was my execution, but the other was the audience. And if you're talking to the right audience, it's easy. And in this case, plastic surgeons, as I dug into it with a couple of questions, everything they talked about, they are big time in the education business. And as we started to dig into it, ultimately, we identified maybe 10 different subjects that we could have dug even deeper into. So no, there was no shortage of content. It was quite the opposite.
And how much how familiar were you with the plastic surgery industry as far as the any of the subject matter? Was this something that you're pretty green with, but you were still able to pull this out of them fairly quickly using, you know, some of the questions or getting into the, you know, the inside of the mind of your prospect with the do I understand your problem? Are you qualified to solve my problem type? Those templates, you know, those vessels that you can fill up with this information from an industry that you may not be that familiar with.
Yeah. In my script, once again, I had all of those elements to it. In this case, it was very easy for me to start digging in deeper because as they were talking about undoing the ravages of sun and a lot of the things that we all want to turn the clock back a little bit, a lot of those things just resonated with me. You know, I lived in San Diego when I was in college and I didn't use sunscreen. And so it was very easy to wear the hat of their audience and really empathize with what problems they were trying to solve and who they were talking to.
Well, one thing that I've definitely learned over doing, I don't know how many interviews with people from so many different industries and some that I just, before I do the interviews, I'm thinking, how am I ever going to make this interesting, you know, because of whether it's, you know, financial CPAs, you know, hospital administrators, insurance people that there's no way that I have any depth of knowledge in a lot of this. But one thing that you find is once you let them start talking from that educator advocate, and all of a sudden they're speaking like they would as they were educating a patient, you start realizing they're doing your job for you. They're throwing out that content that you never would have known to pull out of them.
Yeah, without a doubt. You just pull that string and they start telling the stories that they tell every day. And it, you know, that's back to the voice activated marketing thing. It's easy for them at that point. They're doing what they do best.
And really it's because you opened up that gate, not by asking them about them, but asking right. them about how they help their clients. And I think that's the real kind of secret sauce to this, because once they start talking about themselves, they get into expert mode. I've done this. I have this. I have this award. I have this certificate. And so do you find when you start out using those authority interview questions that it immediately diverts it away from any of that and they become that educator and advocate that's probably really within them?
Without a doubt. And what they do is they take what they do in front or in person with a yellow pad of paper. And now they're giving us a digital version of that. It just flowed out so easily. And in this case, the plastic surgeons are truly educators and advocates. That's a cornerstone of their approach. So this was a great approach for them.
Now, then, this is another thing I want to bring out of someone. And I haven't asked you this, but I bet I know the answer. After you finish that interview, what is their reaction to how well you did with getting that out of them, even though they did most of the work?
Throughout the interview, they essentially said that, hey, that's a great question. Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And implied in many different ways that the process was really easy and they'd love to do it again.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I found is that, you know, by answering these little questions and letting them do the bulk of the talking at the end of it, they think, wow, that was really great. You did you really did a great job, you know, getting this out of me. And it's like, wow, I just asked a couple of questions and they went off on it. And then it's easy for you to kind of jump in and respond with those, right? It's easy for you to react to their answers. And how many questions do you come up that weren't written down because of what they said and you're able to pull more out of them?
Oh, without a doubt. Those second tier questions were a key component of the interviews.
So 15-minute planned interview turns into what?
30 to 45 minutes.
Okay. And when you get those transcribed, what do you see really in an actual volume of content there?
1500 words, maybe. I apologize. I didn't really measure that out, but it's a significant amount of content. The way I look at it is how many different problems did we solve? Because we're going to be able to repurpose those into either, you know, video problem solving or email, autoresponders, et cetera. So, you know, we got 10 to 15 valuable pieces of content within that one article.
Yeah. And that I think is a great spin that you did, you know, that you put this out of recognizing that, you know, this can be used in multiple ways. And, you know, I've always said that the interview is the heart, is the hub of the hub and spoke of the authority wheel. And you've really extracted that and taken it kind of full tilt. So let's talk about that, because that's kind of the core of your business with the voice activated. What is it? Voice activated.
VAMO. Voice activated marketing. The O doesn't stand for anything. It just sounded nice.
Oh, well, there it is. And I never would have thought. That's the thing. Nobody even thinks about that. That's good. Okay. VAMO, voice activated marketing. And now kind of talk about what you're able to do with that one interview. Let's say you have one interview. Let's say you have 1500 words. How many different pieces of content are you able to extract out of those 1500 words?
It's almost limitless when you look at it. So I go through there and the initial questions provide a headline, but as I review the content, I review it in with the mindset of what are the little mini headlines or subheadings we're going to have with this. So I create an outline around that, and then I'll take a look at it and say, okay, you know, how much real content, how many problems are we solving there? And then from that standpoint, just repurposing, looking at them with the idea of repurposing them in multiple channels and delivering them across the customer journey. So go ahead.
No, so go ahead and kind of what are some of those different areas? I know you mentioned video. Are you doing the interviews and an interview style and then turning them into articles to turning them? What kind of things are you turning them into?
So a problem solving video. A problem-solving video that we could share with folks. It would be part of our How To Squared podcast network. It would be social sharing. It would be part of an email autoresponder. So in the case of plastic surgeon, that you know, they may have come up with a series on skincare that we could make into an autoresponder where we're, you know, sending out four or five, six different pieces for it.
Ah, that's perfect. Brilliant. And so by doing this, first of all, how much of this, because a lot of people think, wow, this Conrad, he's a really clever guy. You know, I don't know if I could come up with this. How much of this did you have kind of outlined and pre-planned versus what kind of ad unfolded after you pulled the trigger and went through with it, and these ideas and opportunities started unfolding as you started going through the process, realizing, wow, this is really turned into more than I even imagined that this could be turned into?
Well, I had a fundamental understanding that the microphone and people speaking into the microphone was the magic ingredient, that you don't need to, for content marketing, with all of the things that you need to do, whether it's video, whether it's podcasting, whether it's blogging, go on a social, those are all like learning different languages. And quite frankly, people don't have the time to learn 10 or 15 different languages to for their marketing. And so what I considered was that the microphone is the ultimate digital translator for businesses. If they just do what they do every day, I knew that if they told those stories into that microphone, we could convert that into this multimedia stream of powerful, compelling content that demonstrated their expertise. So I knew that could happen. What I did not know was exactly how long and how I would do all of that. And so that's really where I've been for the last 8 months is beta testing that and streamlining that process. That's been the biggest challenge.
And so, you know, what I want to bring up, the analogy you just made there was really great, because there are a lot of businesses that they understand or even lack the understanding, but know, have heard and know that they need to or should be doing, you know, social media, email marketing, video marketing. And that's exactly what you're doing, is you're translating. You don't need to know video marketing. You don't need to know social media. You don't need to know email. You need to know what you know. And you're the translator. You say, guess what? You just tell me, I speak video. I speak social. I speak email. I can translate all this, what you're telling me this one time, into all those platforms. And that's got to be something that is instantly and easily identified as a value to these folks.
Yeah, it resonates with folks. And you can see it. I've had people come up to me at networking events and they saw the microphone on my card and it resonated with them. They said, I need your services, without really getting into any of the details. But as with the plastic surgeons, you just ask them a question about how they help people. And from that point forward, they just do what they do every day and it's seamless.
So let's talk about now how you commoditize this. All right. So that's where a lot of people, they get there. Then when it comes time to get money or put a price tag on it, that's where they kind of freeze up. You know, how much is the value? And I think, you know, people often ask, well, how much do I charge for this? How much do I charge for a book? How much do I charge for this? And to me, the answer is always, well, what's the value to your prospect? You know, how much should you charge for a glass of water? Well, that depends. Are you at the edge of a desert where people are just walking out? Or are you, you know, in a place where water's plentiful? There's different price tags depending on the value. So how do you determine the price that you put on this stuff? And how hard was it to spit it out, you know, the first time you did that, to get a check?
That's a great question, because initially when I imagined this concept, I thought, hey, I need to really make it affordable. So I thought I needed to package something on a monthly basis that might be $4.99 a month, where I do an interview and then we turn that interview into 10 pieces of content, and that could work. As I've gotten into it, it's really more beneficial if you're going for clients who really already understand the importance of investing in their business and already do it. I know you guys are big proponents of that. So once again, plastic surgeons, they're spending money on marketing. They've got a lot of money coming in and they believe in making an investment in their marketing. So in this particular case, I mentioned I had three interviews. Well, the third interview, almost before we were midway through the interview, this surgeon said, look, I've been dying for something like this. I am really hungry for your services. I've got a couple of books I've written and I want to get them published on Kindle. And I said, well, I can help you with that. And he really just cut the interview off and said, I need to see you. right now.
What a coincidence. That's
exactly. So, you know, I went there with my, you know, monthly package in mind, and my, the cornerstone of the product was of the offering was going to be $3,000 a month to, you know, do a monthly authority building, authority wheel content marketing package. But because his pain point right then and there was the Kindle publishing, I researched some of the content you guys have put out about, hey, how much should you charge? And like you say, hey, it depends. It could be anywhere from 200 to 2,500. So I went in there and said, look, you've got two books. I will publish the first book and run a bestseller campaign for $4,000. But because you have a second book, I'll do that second book for $2,000 if you do it at the same time. And he didn't really even flinch at that. He just asked me if I could, because he was going to be, he had already implied or stated categorically that he was going to be working with me for all sorts of other things that we had spoken about. He said, hey, can you give me a little help? So we agreed on $5,000 for the publishing.
I know, and that cuts so much into your overhead, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's killing me.
Well, that's the great thing about this is because your barrier to entry is, you know, that's our goal, obviously, in agencies, to remove that barrier of entry. Now, here's something that I want to people to hear from members. I want them to hear it from someone else's voice. Did you now understand the difference between the mindset a lot of people have is, okay, how do I convince people to do this? How do I, you know, show the value and make people want this? When I try to tell people there are people out there that will get it and want it desperately, that I don't ever try to convince anyone they should do this. Once you saw that there are people that got it and kind of went so fluidly and frictionless like this plastic surgeon, how much time would you spend trying to convince someone they should do this?
Moving forward?
Yes.
Convince somebody they should do what? The authority agency?
The authority stuff versus no, convince someone that they should let you do their authority marketing to provide authority services versus just moving on to someone that gets it and is ready to do business with you.
Without a doubt. Move on to somebody who gets it. And that's back to what I said, my biggest mistake in my first forays into this was not speaking to the right audience. But you know, once again, I hit the plastic surgeons, 9 calls, 3 interviews, and you know, really three people that asked me to do business with them.
Yeah, there was no transition from the journalist contributor to marketing. It was transition from them saying, this is great. Is there a way for us to work together, you know, further or more deeply, right?
Exactly. And I can't overstress the importance of the immediate results you're able to point to by putting them in USA Today or with the Business Innovator magazine. Those instant results were very, very powerful.
Yeah. And I think it's probably not just powerful for them, but powerful for you. Once you saw what that did, once you saw the reaction from these folks, what did that do for your confidence and your, you know, mindset with, okay, I'm onto this. I'm onto something. Let's kick this into gear.
It's funny you would say that, because when I was embarking upon down the content marketing path, which I'm still going down, and that's, you know, the cornerstone of what we're doing here, I still felt that it was, there were some vagaries involved with that because of the long-term play. You're getting people to know, like, and trust you. You're building relationships. Okay, that's great. We all understand that. But as soon as I became part of the authority agency, I had these more arrows in my quiver that I could immediately deploy. And it really galvanized my approach with folks.
And that's that obviously adds to your confidence in what you're able to do. And what about your confidence to fulfill? Do you feel, you know, confidence in your ability to fulfill and not have to wait for that long play and hope it reaches their expectations in the long term to be able to see instant, you know, kind of gratification from them on the things you're doing?
it's off the charts. Like I said, they immediately get to see these things. They're tangible. And even though they understand the long-term nature of content marketing, and even though the some of the authority wheel tools may not have given them immediate results, in their mind, they did get immediate results because there they were, in fact, now being published. And that was very powerful, made everything easy after that.
Well, I think that's another important distinction here is the results can mean different things to different people. You know, one thing that you probably found is immediate results doesn't necessarily immediate return in cash, right? It doesn't necessarily mean immediate customer acquisition. Immediate results is, wow, you've just, you know, I've just achieved something that I thought was kind of beyond my reach or I didn't even conceive achieving 2 weeks ago.
It, without a doubt. And, you know, the USA Today is a perfect example. The realtor that I have been working with, he's been frustrated that we haven't been generating, you know, leads right from the get-go. But then I got he and his wife in USA Today, and that was a game changer in terms of his perspective of the value that he's been receiving from me. He said that USA Today thing was a big deal, Conrad.
And exactly. And you got to see that it that results and customer satisfaction doesn't necessarily come from lead acquisition. That's where a lot of marketers kind of are really have blinders on that the end result is only when the phone rings. But there's so much that adds to that. And a lot of times when you find the right people, what they want, this guy, his results, the plastic surgeon isn't, I want to get a customer. You know, you don't win when I get customers from my book being published. You win when the mechanical part of my book being published occurs.
Exactly. It's just immediate concrete results that you can point to.
Yeah, that's what one of my favorite things and why I love this business so much. So, and people like to have things in step by step. So let's kind of recap over this and then we'll talk about a little bit about the fulfillment piece of what you're doing. So you just said, you know what, I'm going to go through, you went through the funnel training, you went through the, if I had to make $500, you went through the script, in fact, I think I used plastic surgeons as one of the examples in that, if I'm not mistaken. And so you just went through it exactly. It worked out. What do you know? They started responding. You got interviews. You had people that want to work with you. You put together a pricing package, which I'm sure you'll probably be adjusting as you go. The one good thing is you were flexible in understanding that this guy, his big need was the book thing. So let's shift. Let's do that. You can do that. And so now, going forward, after learning through this, what kind of processes are you putting in place as far as you mentioned that, you know, you have a VA that are doing certain things. What do your processes look like now and the actual kind of fulfillment piece of this?
Well, we're midstream with that, as it turns out. So the third plastic surgeon that I interviewed, he was the one who had me come in and do the Kindle publishing. Well, we sat down, he agreed to the Kindle publishing for $5,000. He agreed to give me another $3,000 to get his website turned over to a more mobile responsive WordPress based website and to initiate the first month of our content marketing. So he handed me a check for $11,191 and said, let's get going. And then he agreed to give me $2,997 a month moving forward. But he had an emergency with his website. So that happened about 11 days ago. And so I've been helping him with his website. So behind the scenes, I've been working with a virtual assistant that's helping us on the webmaster side of things. And I'm seeking out the same and putting together processes for the Kindle publishing. And I've used somebody for transcribing, et cetera. So I'm really just laying out the step-by-step systems for each component of this. And the learning curve is still pretty steep.
Yeah. And the good thing is, you know, that it's all doable. Yes. know, it's in place. It's not a kind of theory. I hope this works out. Because you've seen it work in place. So that's, you know, I'm thrilled that you came on to walk through this like as it is in midstream, as this is unfolding, because you didn't necessarily wait for everything to be perfect. You didn't wait until you knew exactly every step to putting together the book. You didn't wait till you do every step on the mechanics of how every piece of the authority wheel works. And that's one thing that we like to stress to people, that you don't have to do everything that we have available in authority agency. And so beyond understanding the concept of, okay, I understand what it is I'm selling. I understand how it, you know, gets fulfilled in a broad sense. You know, how deep did you have to go and kind of dig into that? I better get ready to get ready before I start selling this stuff versus, you know, I understand I'm comfortable with the process. I'm comfortable that it can get done. That before you actually went out there and said, all right, I'm picking up the phone, I'm going to make this happen.
You know, we all suffer from maybe being too much of a perfectionist, and I'm as guilty of that as anybody is. But I gobble up as much information and education as possible about online marketing, about content marketing, about authority marketing. And so I'm always listening to podcasts, and time again, you hear, and you guys have said this, go out there and make an offer. It doesn't need to be perfect. And what did they say? General Patton said an attack or a plan that's violently executed today is better than the perfect plan executed in 3 weeks. And that's kind of where we are with this. So I knew I just needed to make an offer. And I also knew that if I made an offer and somebody accepted it and they handed me a check, that I had the resources at my disposal to deliver on my promises, whether it's the resources you guys provide, because I know in your resource section, you've got plenty of things in there that will help people execute this. And I've got some other resources that I've worked with as well. But it really was just about making that offer. Like you say, it wasn't perfect. I was a little crude. I was reading off my script. But doggone it, I got the appointments, did the interviews, got the checks, and now, you know, I'm confident we're going to be able to deliver on everything.
You know, I think that's one of the things, the science and physics of sales. If you sell it, something magically happens that gets you into gear to fulfill it, you know, whether you knew how to do it before or not. Once you sell it, you know it's time to move on that. And I think that's a great way to execute. And, you know, I'm thrilled that you actually, you know, you went through, you took a chance, you went through the scripts and you did it, and this turned out the way it did. And I'm also thrilled that you would come and share this with folks, because I know that, you know, once you put a post there in the Facebook group, people kind of like, hey, wait a minute, what happened? What magic did he do? And really the magic is you just kind of went through and did what you were supposed to do without overcomplicating it. Have you overcomplicated things in the past and kind of tried to get out of your own way of doing that?
Well, I'm sure, yes, absolutely. But, you know, that overcomplicating is when you're building your product and you think it just, especially if you're trying to market your product digitally. You've got your website and you're going, well, this is my storefront. It's got to tell my story just right. Everything's got to be just perfect. And I fell into that trap. But when I shifted to, hey, we'll get back to the bread and butter of meeting people, finding out what their pain points were, and giving them a solution, a simple to use solution, and everything can happen from there. Everything worked just great. So without a doubt, just taking that action is vital.
And how many of these folks that, you know, that have hired you, the guy that gave you $11,000, wanted your website address and your brochure and to see your best-selling book or anything like that before he did business with you?
Zero.
Well, isn't that weird?
Zero. So yeah, exactly. And well, the great part about that, Jack, is that what I've been doing is really taking an iterative approach to my website. Once I started going on appointments and finding out what people needed, I'm just building my website based on what happens at my appointments. So every time I learn a pain point and I come up with a solution for that pain point, I incorporate that into my website. And frankly, the only people that are going to see that are the people I'm doing business with right there. So it's kind of turned into a long web development exercise as well.
That's a perfect way to do it. Instead of guessing ahead of time and I got to get this all just right before I even talk to someone, you know, build it out based on the real feedback that you get. So anything else that you want to let us know about VAMO? I like that. I got to get that down. VAMO. VAMO. It sounds good coming off the tongue, you know?
Yeah, that's why I added the O. Almost sounds like a verb.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, well, that, I can see, you know, as you go there. Well, here's what we do. We do this, 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 and then VAMO.
Exactly. I'll have to get that recording. No, that's it. Like I say, it's a voice-activated marketing that we help companies become as popular online as they are offline. But most importantly, we help them do it in 5 minutes a day by doing what they do best, which is really the authority interviews that we've been talking about.
Yeah, and that's perfect. And I also want to really kind of, before we go, you know, put a spotlight on the fact that you're not putting yourself out there as an authority on authority, right? Trying to be the authority guy. You are adding authority and putting authority spin on content marketing. And it's to me, it's much easier for you to position yourself as an authority on content marketing versus being an authority on authority, because people kind of understand content marketing, or even if you get down into the granular pieces of that, you know, video, social media, email, that's stuff that they're least in a shallow, you know, way familiar with. And to become an authority and position yourself as authority on that is a tremendous thing, and it's valuable for yourself. So I look forward into seeing you take that further. And you know, I think you're gonna have some good things. You definitely have a plan and a not afraid to go and execute. So congratulations.
I appreciate that. And one last thing on that is that, you know, we're talking about authority and positioning yourself as authority for humans. But the interesting thing here is that, as we mentioned, you know, everybody is being pitched SEO services. And once again, I don't like to use that acronym, but ultimately, people do ask me about it. And what I say to them is that, well, yeah, we're building your authority, not only with your audience, but with Google. Because we're going to use the language your audience uses as they're searching for your help. So it turns into, it gives them a different perspective on SEO, which is, yeah, we're going to build your authority with Google. That's really what SEO is. And it separates us in the authority business from just the SEO folks.
Yeah, that's the one thing that we find, that we can work with a lot of people that have SEO people and not interfere with that relationship, you know, and not try to where they see it as we would replace that, but more, you know, better it, or, you know, or add to it. So that's great. One last thing. Any advice that you would give to someone that's just getting started or just coming into authority agency and thinking, you know, where do I start? You know, is this real? What's the part that I can get moving the quickest on with the least learning curve on doing this to really go from I'm going to be to I am?
Simple. Just learn one lead magnet or offer and act on it.
You can't get simpler than that.
Yeah, that's it. And it could be any of them. Like I say, whether it's the USA Today or whether it's the Kindle Publishing 500, just learn it, do it verbatim, and take action, make offers.
Fantastic. Conrad, thanks so much for coming on and sharing this. I'm looking forward to seeing great things from you.
Thanks, Jack. I enjoyed it.
All right. Fantastic, folks. There you have it. Another authority agency spotlight and case study. And I, you know, really is, I love hearing these stories and walking through the experiences that folks have putting this into action. So until next time, like I always say, you are the only real game changer.